After last week's episode, we invited our fabulous interns to share examples of recognizing retroactively how God equipped them in the past to be ready to trust His call and serve the body of Christ now. So here's a wonderful variety of responses from several of our current Grit and Grace interns, starting with Jennifer Hockman. As you listen to their stories, pray says how God has equipped you in your past to be ready to trust His call and serve the body of Christ right now.
15 years ago, I was pregnant with my twin sons. I became very ill and we lost the boys. It was a very dark time in my life, and learning to live with the constant void was daunting. A few years later, my pastor asked me to be a part of a funeral team. I was able to take my loss and sit with mourning people and love on them from a real place of understanding. God used my pain to be a light in the darkness for others. It brings me joy to know that their lives and my pain had a purpose.
Hi, this is Jeanette Hanscom from JeanetteHanscom.com. In high school, I fell in love with acting and thought I wanted to pursue that as my career. God made it pretty clear that that wasn't His path for me. But recently, I realized that He used all that performance training to equip me with the confidence I needed to feel comfortable in front of an audience for when I became a speaker and started teaching and serving at writers' conferences and for podcast interviews and even for moments like this.
Hi, I'm Iris Bryant of irispbryant.com. During my teenage years and even my young adult years, I wrestled with feelings of rejection. I often felt alone, even if I was surrounded by a crowd. I could have never imagined God would use those years as a foundational element of a women's ministry and Bible study I currently lead. Because of the freedom I now embrace, I'm able to walk alongside other women in their journey to wholeness and healing.
Hi, my name is Lori Young of LoriYoungSpeaker.com. Several years ago, I was given an opportunity to work for a nonprofit whose mission I was deeply committed to. I started by just doing administrative tasks, but then I quickly found myself in the role of development director, where I was coordinating fundraising events. I was the spokesperson. I wrote all the content for our marketing and social media and PR efforts. I even helped our nonprofit start a new business. Now I can see how God was preparing me to be a writer and a speaker as the owner of my own business.
Hello, this is Tennille Register of R7Reclaimed.com. As a child, I knew I wanted a big family, and I thought that would come through adoption. But as life turned out as a grown-up, not only would it not happen through adoption, but I also would not have many babies of my own. What I can see now is that longing for children and that heart for adoption is what really equipped me to be a stepmom of 4 bonus kids who I would get the choice to choose to love. So while it doesn't come in the pretty package of adoption or naturally having a big family, God used those longings to prepare my heart for the dedication it takes to make our big blended family of 7 work.
Hello, this is Vicki Stone of proofingforpros.com. Thinking about my experiences as a virtual assistant and proofreader, I realize that God has provided online work for me and the opportunity to meet people from all over the country. I love making friends with talented creators of content and assisting them in identifying errors that interrupt the flow of their message.
Well, this is Sherry Gregory.
And I'm Amy Carroll.
And you're listening to Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules, the podcast that equips you to lose who you're not, love who you are, and live your one life well.
So you asked me to talk about loving my humanity. And I started laughing when I read that because I thought, I haven't so much loved my humanity as I've tried to hide it.
Mm.
You know, really, that is what perfectionists do. And even the question made me think about our interview with Michelle Couchat way back when. I'm so excited. We'll have another one coming up with her soon. But do you remember the moment where she talked about accepting that she's human? And I cried. I mean, she said it and I had this visceral reaction. I'm like, accepting you're human? What? You know, this is so foreign. And then it also made me think about some of these wonderful interviews, but also books in Simply Tuesday by Emily P. Freeman. She has this section that I have highlighted, underlined, starred, and it talks, she talks about how shocked we can be by our own sin. And how shocking that it is to be shocked by our own sin. It's like that we're surprised by it every time. And I think maybe accepting our humanity is stopping the habit of being shocked that we need a savior.
Ooh, I like that.
You know, it's not the pain over our sin, but just the surprise of it. That the right kind of love of our humanity, we're not talking about love of our sinful fallen nature, but the right kind of love of our humanity is recognizing I need a savior because I'm human.
I love that. Well, yeah. And, you know, just to make sure we're all on the same page, I'm thinking back to an article a few years ago. It was a Christian author who was kind of putting out a plea into the internet for bloggers to discern the difference between vulnerability and vomit. And, their sense and their concern was that there had been too much focus on humanity to the point of celebrating and elaborating and not enough focus on God's transforming power. I mean, it kind of reminded me, and I'm sure we've all been to an event like this, but years ago I went to a women's retreat and the woman who was the speaker, she spent 2.5 hours talking about her life before Jesus. And then there was a couple minutes about, and then she met Jesus and then there was closing prayer. And it was like, wow, that was a lot of time spent on the humanity part of things. So just want to be clear here, but I love the right kind of love of our humanity is recognizing our need of a savior. It's not celebrating our fallenness or wallowing in our weakness. It's the focus is on Jesus. Well, you titled this episode, Why It's a Good Thing to Be Lost First. And, you know, we sing the song so easily. I once was lost, but now am found. And I wanted to ask you, and I'll answer first, give you a chance to think. How do you recognize that you're lost, or at least that you're kind of losing your way? I realize it when I realize I've become so negative, I can't even stand myself. I mean, my attitude and my acting out become like the smell of not having bathed in months. And I'm like, wow, I can't stand myself. I'm sure the people around me are sick of me. And okay, I clearly have wandered. How can you tell when you're kind of lost?
Well, I mean, this is so convicting to say because I continue to wrestle with insomnia. And I think I'm going to blame some of it on my hormones. But anyway, but some of it is clearly not. And sometimes my insomnia is really such a reflection of my lack of trust in God and my overdeveloped sense of responsibility, thinking that I'm in charge of everything and I have to make everything happen. And, you know, that is just, I mean, let's just call it what it is. It's sin, you know, because I'm not trusting God. And so I would say if I start having big bouts of insomnia, it's a big indicator to me that I need to do some internal work and turn to the Savior.
I am so very sorry I asked you this question. I'd like to edit this out because
I hate it too. I gotta tell you,
I didn't fall asleep till midnight last night, and I got up at 3:30 because I was awake worrying about things. So thank you.
I'm so sorry. And
thank
I know. And listen,
much.
I wrote a devotion for Proverbs 31 about 4 years ago about how I've overcome it. Woohoo! Well, not so much.
All right. Why once was lost, I now am found. Let's move into the hopeful part of this. So how do you experience the joy of being found, what I referred to as the one club? So again, I'll go first and I'll be honest. For me, the joy of being found, I've had to learn comes with pain. And I'm not a fan of pain, but it ends up being an okay kind of pain. I'm slowly learning to recognize the difference between the kind of pain that is just destructive and the kind of pain that's healing. Because when I'm rescued, when I'm back in the One Club, Christ has come and found me yet again, I'm finally seeing where I was wrong about something, or the way I totally misunderstood someone, or I'd pushed my agenda too hard and everything's all falling to pieces. And what I'm finding is that godly sorrow, contrition, repentance, they all do hurt. But it's not the same as the pain of some random meaningless injury. It's the pain of growth. And it feels like strengthening. It feels like maturity, like we talked about in a previous episode. And so while it still hurts, it's like you always say it hurts so good. Like, yeah, I can say that afterwards. I'm not going to say that in the middle of it. But I still am starting to really recognize this isn't the same as the pain of blame and shame and fear. It hurts, but it's a different form of pain that leads to joy.
That's great. Well, and I was thinking, you know, that pain is linked to repentance. You know, it's the sorrow over the sin. And so being found is linked directly to repentance. But then I was thinking about, and you just mentioned joy as a follow-up to that. And I would say for me, immediately, I thought just the flood of love that comes in anytime that I've repented, that acceptance, that love of Christ that comes in. And I've talked about it on the podcast before, but the most tangible experience with God that I've ever had was when I was in college and I had been kind of wandering. I had been part of the 99, or no, I was the one, but I hadn't been found yet. And when I turned to God thinking I was going to get the stick, instead, I had this experience with him that I'll never forget. And it was the tangible, almost reach out and touch presence of love. Amazing.
So as we wrap up part two of Exhale, Love Who You Are, I think the number one thing I want our listeners and readers to take away is that learning to love who you are does not mean becoming selfish. It actually means focusing on yourself less because you're so focused on Christ.
Well, I've had so much fun going back and rereading and highlighting and things to get ready for these episodes. And one of the things that's amazing me the most in this read through, how many times have we read this thing, Sherry? But how dovetailed our chapters are, you know, and we studied and wrote separately, but some of the concepts are so overlapping. And one of the concepts that we both talked about was that loving yourself is an act of worship to your creator. And that is so freeing, because that really reflects a focus on Jesus that you just talked about, you know. And so I think if we can start seeing this healthy love of ourselves as an act of worship, that it really flips things, you know, because it's not a self-focus. It is a focus on God. And it made me think back years ago, my best friend in college, Anna, and her brother was a new Christian. Anna had been walking with the Lord for a while, and he was kind of in this real legalistic situation, and he was questioning some things that his sister was doing, you know. And he was like, "Well, why do you think God loves you, Anna?" And he wanted a response about the stuff she did. And she said, "I think God loves me because when I get out of the shower in the morning and I shake my head, my hair curls all over it." And she just looked him right in the eyes. And it was the most, it really made me tear up then. It made me tear up to think about it again. God loves us not because of what we've done for him, but simply because he created us with curly hair or straight hair or, you know, because he's the one who made us.
I love that. So what's the scripture that you've paired with this episode?
Well, it's related to that. And it's John 15:9, where Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love." And I just think that if we're loved with the same depth as the Father loves the Son, and we are, then who are we to do less than that? And even as I would go a step further to say that less than that is an actual sin. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is, it's an affront to our Creator. And if we begin thinking about it that way, that really flips it from like, oh, this is just humility, which is, we know this is not true, to something that's an affront to God.
So what's the bad rule that we're breaking in this episode?
As you say, I can be myself or I can be loved. And then you follow up with the truth, which is, I can be myself because I'm beloved by God. So the grit for me in that is really fighting the critical voices in my head. And I think this is a struggle so many of us have, that the things that we say to ourselves, we would never say to anyone else. And so, yes, exhale from the very beginning has been about changing your life. We're unabashed about that. Exhale's changed our lives, but we want to be able to embrace change without shame. And there's a big difference in being shamed into changing something and being loved into changing something.
So true. Well, the being shamed is going to be temporary at best. And to cope with that kind of shame, there will then be a host of unhealthy coping mechanisms that, that then develop along with it. Whereas when we change because we are loved, it's being transformed by God, and that's going to be permanent. What I love, the grace here for me, because I'm still thinking about this, if we're loved with the same depth as the Father loves the Son, and we are, who are we to do less? And my first thought is, wow. This is so freeing. It means I don't have to hyper-focus on don't be selfish, don't be selfish, don't be selfish. Oh, that sounds selfish. Oh, no. You're thinking about yourself too much. And I don't have to work harder to be humble and to show how humble I am. Instead of all of that nonsense, I can simply, now I'll put simply in quotation marks, but I can simply join Jesus in loving God, in loving others, and loving myself. That is an exhale right there.
Mm-hmm.
We hope you've enjoyed episode 161 of Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules.
Stop over at our website, gritandgracegirls.com/episode161, to find our transcript and this week's Digging Deeper download.
If you're a fan of the Grit and Grace podcast, we would love if you would leave us a review. You can go to gritandgracegirls.com/review, where you'll find a link and even a little video showing you how to do it.
Our guides for our small groups are available now on Amazon. Just search Exhale Book and they'll come up under Exhale.
For today, grow your grit. Embrace God's grace. And when you run across a bad rule, you know what to do. Go right on ahead and break it.